In the beginning of Parsha Kitisa, we have different halachos, different laws before the major part of the Parsha, which is clearly the Egel HaZahav. The pasuk right before the people saw that Moshe had delayed, that Moshe was Moshesh Milavo, Chumash tells us, this is Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Yudchet, when he finished speaking to him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moshe the two tablets of testimony, stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. So we have different aspects, the kiyor, the incense for the ketoret. It ends with Shabbos, for Shamu B'nai Yisrael to Shabbos, La'asos to Shabbos. And then the Chumash tells us, when he finished speaking to Moshe on Mount Sinai, he gave them the two tablets of testimony, stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. And then meanwhile, what's going on down here is the story of the people wondering where Moshe Rabbeinu is. If we take a look at this pasuk, and we need here the Hebrew because the English is bothered by the very question that Rashi is bothered by. The Hebrew source 7. Vayitein el Moshe kikalato l'daberito bahar Sinai shnei luchot haidut luchot evin tuvim be'etzba lukim. So if you take a look at the Birkas Mordechai in source 5, he says, Lashona katuv hutamua. The way the Chumash writes the pasuk, it's a little wondrous. Hayalo lomar, it should have said, Vayiten al Moshe, and he gave to Moshe the two luchos after he's finished speaking to him. Or, after he finished speaking to him, he gave him the two luchos, which is the way the English translates it, when he finished speaking to him on Mount Sinai. But that's not the Hebrew. The Hebrew direct translation is, Vayiten al Moshe, and he gave to Moshe, kikalato, when he finished speaking to him on Har Sinai, the two tablets. It would seem, says the Birkas Mordechai in Source 5, that what did Hashem give him? He gave him the Kalato. Vayitena Moshe ke Kalato. He gave him the Kalato, which absolutely doesn't make sense. Right? He didn't give him the Kalato, the finishing. He gave him the Luchos Evin. He gave him the tablet. So therefore, Rashi in Source number 3 notes the following. Ke Kalato, ke Kalato, tiv chaser. It's written without a vav. Shinim Saralo Torah b'matana, Hashem gave him the Torah as a gift, kikala l'chatan, like a bride to the groom. Shelo haya yachol lomot kula b'smanu ad kaza, because he couldn't learn everything in such a short time. So Rashi understands, vayiten Moshe, and he gave to Moshe, kikalato, he gave to Moshe like a kala, just like a kala is given to a chassan as a present, so too, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, the Luchos, as a gift. It was impossible for him to learn all of this in such a short time. So here, Rashi understands the imagery of Kekalato as the imagery of Torah being likened to a kala given to the chassan as a gift, to which the Birkas Mordechai asks in source number 4, L'chora Pella, if you want to describe to somebody, I want to give you a gift. You're going to describe it, I'm giving to you a kala. That's the way you describe a gift. A gift is a gift, say it. And he gave it to him as a gift. You don't say he gave it to him like a kala. In what way is a kala like a gift? That's going to be our focus question for today. In what way is a Torah compared to a kala? The second question, or the second idea, we're going to touch on at least on levels 2 and 3 of the 3 levels, is a very fascinating Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra in source number 6 says, Vayitein, and he gave him, Reke moach yitmahu ma'asa Moshe b'harz arbeim yom v'arbeim layla. Only foolish, empty-headed people are wondering, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? And they don't know that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been on the mountain for a zillion more times than this, he would never have been able to learn everything the Torah has to offer. And you see this. The end of the Ibn Ezra, he says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, right before he died, Parshas Veschanan, it says, Atachi lota lorot avdecha gadlecha. You've begun to show your servant your greatness. Only then he saw his greatness. He didn't see his greatness till now. Atachi lota, only now, at the end of his death, he's beginning to understand it. So obviously there's a tremendous amount to learn, a tremendous amount to see that he only in his lifetime was able to get a grasp of just a little bit. My friends, let's try to understand this imagery of a kala, to understand being on Har Sinai, the depth of learning on three levels and ultimately see how our understanding of what Torah is about, Moshe Rabbeinu getting the luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we need to look at the receiving of the Torah, how we need to look at learning of the Torah and living a Torah lifestyle on a much more deeper and complex level based on this Shir Mirat Hashem. Let's begin with idea number one. Rav Schwab Zatzal, the Mayanei Yeshua, points out, Maya Beit HaShoeva rather, points out the same question in Source 7. And he says the language here is very obtruse. What does it mean that Kikalata, when he finished, is doing in the middle? It should be Vaitena Moshe, Sheluchot Haidun. He gave the two Luchos Kikalata when he finished speaking to him. What is it doing in the middle? So he begins by explaining a very important yesod, a very important fundamental principle. And he says, Ita shebesha shalom Moshe lemarom, amur malach esharei letzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chemda gnuza, atam vakesh lignam basar adam. The angels, when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu up in Shemayim, they said, this precious Torah, this hidden Torah you're going to give to human beings that belongs up here. To which Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, give an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about, you know, do you have a father and mother that you have to honor? Were you in Egypt that you have to remember? Leaving Egypt, etc. Torah belongs down here. Okay, that's a very famous Gemara. As for Rav Schwab, at the end of Source 7, what was the Hava mean of the angels? Why did the angels even think that Torah belongs up in heaven? Obviously they know they don't have parents. Obviously they know they weren't in Egypt. Duh. Like, why would we even think? Why would there even be a thought? A Hava Mina, that the angels should have the Torah. To which Rav Schwab answers a very, very fundamental idea. And he says it's a source 8. We know there are many different worlds, right? Seven heavens, many different aspects of many different worlds. And the truth is that the mitzvos apply on all aspects, and all levels. The asterisks, Rakshit Suratam Mishtaneh Lufi Ha'olam Shehinim Seipa. Rather, the way we understand the mitzvah is going to change based on the situation, the condition that you're found in. And he says, you see this even within our own world. Even in our own world, you can see a mitzvah has many different layers and many different aspects going from the lowest to the highest. The example he gives is not to kill. So on the most basic level, it means you don't take out a weapon and you kill somebody. Now let's move to a higher level. Not to be malbim p'nei chaveru b'rabim. Not to embarrass someone publicly. That's an aspect of killing. A person, a rav, who gets to the level of harah, who has the ability to teach and doesn't teach, is also as if he's killed. He's taken away the opportunity to be able for people to learn from them. Harei she'eshinyan double dots, shall ritzicha kishechad moresh lo kahoken, or when you teach inappropriately, that's also killing. V'hi b'chinek v'ha yoter, at the higher level. V'chein b'chol ha-mitzvot v'yisurim, u'minei shegam b'olamam shal melochim shaychim inyanei ha-Torah. So just as I see that not to kill has many different aspects, and there's some much more sublime than just taking out a weapon and killing somebody, so too the Torah would be understood, the mitzvot would be understood, for the angels in relating to them. That Mitzrayim has a connotation for them, and parents have a connotation for them. We understand it as the physical, biological parents who gave birth to us. For angels, what parents represent, Kabed Avicha Vatimecha, would be something unique for the angels. So indeed, Torah could have belonged up in Shemayim. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted, rather, that the Torah be brought down to the lowest level, to the level of down here on earth. And that, he says, V'chein yeshel faresh in the 9, Shlaman Moshe piyat v'ura kol ha-dinim b'aliyato l'marom, shitchil lovim v'laskil b'dine etar ha-chel min koram shal dvarim, ma-b'china yol nabiyoter, ad ha-b'china ha-toch nabiyoter. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't even imagine this. To a Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, he started from heads up. He started teaching him the Torah the way it relates to angels, the way it relates to the higher spheres, and then began to bring it down how it relates to us. Shitchil lavin v'laskil b'dini etara chamim karam ma'b'china yona ab'china tachtona v'nimsa shenitina taluchot shebehem nechtevu p'shutei advarim shal ser hadjibrod הייתה ככלתו לדבר איתו. כשהגיע למדרגה התחתונה של פשוטי הדברים דינים בעולם הזה, ולכן הפסיק באמצע נתינת הלוחות להודיע שזמן הנתינה היה ככלתו לדבר איתו, כדי שנדע שנתינת הלוחות היא השלב האחרון במסירת התורה מהקדוש ברוך הוא למשה. So why do I have here ככלתו לדבר איתו? It's not just mentioning, well, God finished, you know, class is over, bell's ringing, you can leave now. No. Kikalato l'daberito is signifying the lowest level. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, taught Moshe Rabbeinu, the least common denominator, the lowest level, lo tirzach, not to kill with a weapon, when he reached that level, at that point, he gave him the luchos avanim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu taught him all these levels, and then the Chumash is telling us, when he reached the level that would be appropriate for our understanding, for the basic human understanding, kikalato l'daber, when he reached the level of finishing, when he reached the bottom, so to speak, of that huge ladder, then he gave him the luchos avanim, he gave him the Torah, because now we're able to have a grasp on the Torah, we have a grasp on mitzvot, and we'll be able to understand it on the level that's appropriate for us. He likens it, Rav Schwab, to a psukim we say every day in our psukei dezimra, Tilim Kuf Mem Zayin, where we say, Hashaleach imrato aretz, Hashem sends his word down, ad mehera yoretz tvaro, it will quickly his word is spread, hanotein shelek hatzamer, he describes it as the snow like wool, kefur ka'efer yifazer, and the ashes are spread like the cold is warmed like the spread of ashes, mashli karto kifitim lifnei karto miyamot, Hashem sends down the ice in a way that who can stand? And likewise, Yishlach Varov Yamseim, likewise Hashem sends His word and melts them, Yashev Rucho Yuzlu Mayim, and they become like water, Magid Varov Yaakov Chukam Yishvat Tav Yisrael. So that's Rav Schwab, what is going on here? We have the imagery of snow, we have the imagery of ice, we have the imagery of water, and its comparison to Magid Rav Yaakov, Chukam Yishvat Tav Yisrael, the word of God and the Torah. He says this is exactly the imagery that we're speaking about. Hashem does not possibly send down, you know, these rain of ices. If Hashem would send down ices, we would die from the effect of, you know, ice storm coming down. Right, Bara? So what does Hashem do? Hashem takes the ice and he brings it into little pieces called snow. And the snow then melts into water. And that's something we're able to access, we're something able to handle, something we're able to have a relationship with, so to speak. We're able, it doesn't overwhelm us. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send down his mitzvot in that pristine way, like the ice, but rather he melts it down into a way that we can understand. The mitzvot are something that father and mother is something I can relate to. Lo tirzach is something I can relate to. And therefore I follow the mitzvot of Hashem because he has distilled it down, kikalato l'daber, in a way that we can access, in a way that we can handle. Now, if we understand, let's take this one step deeper, and this will begin our study in Mirtz Hashem. If we understand that mitzvos are kikal tol daber, that Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol distilled down the mitzvos. And the example that Rav Pinkus gives is like Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin has nothing to do with our tefillin. It goes through many different levels till it comes down to our tefillin. That is true of mitzvos. Mitzvos have a shtelshel. It has a progression until it comes down to our world that we can be able to access it. If that's true of mitzvos, 13, says Rav Pinkus Hatzal, Akishimudubar batorah en kol yirida. Torah itself is not distilled down. The mitzvos itself, the mitzvos on how we, you know, do these commandments, that is something that goes through many different, aspects and processes, but Torah itself ain't kol yirida. Ota Torah she'Kadosh Baruch Hu shona v'lomed kivyachol, the same Torah that Hashem learns, gam anu lomdim kan, we learn down here as well. Heyot, in the little asterisk, v'la Torah ain't kol yirida, hishtalshelut, v'ibota dargah gvoha kafi shebim kura. Since Torah is the same pristine Torah as is learned in heaven, L'chein b'derech ha-teva, then naturally, kodem atan Torah, lo ha-sheyach ha-dam, yitpos b'siklo, midlash al-Torah. It would be impossible to understand Torah. Torah is the word of God, even the simplest word. Vayomer, like, how do you understand that? And even after matan Torah, kisholmdim gaf mara, be'etzim nimsim anu b'shamayim. When we learn Torah, we're really up in heaven. We're really learning Hashem's Torah. And he says, Bilshona Kadronim Davar Zenikra Simsum, Kivyacho Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzamsem Kvodo V'Nichnas Rosho Shel Adam. How do we understand any aspect of Torah? It's the idea of Simsum, of contraction, a Kabbalistic idea, that Kivyacho Hashem contracts himself and is able to enter into the mind of a person and enables a person to be able to understand Torah. We wouldn't on our own be able to understand it. It's a heavenly aspect. It's beyond our comprehension. Aside from the mitzvah of learning, the moment we're learning, it's as if at that very moment you're found with Hashem. The Medrash in Tanit Baliyahu says, Kol Tamid Chacham sheyoshev v'koreh v'shonev osek b'Torah, any Tamid Chacham who sits and learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev kenegdo v'koreh v'shonev, Hashem is sitting with him and learning. Kivyachol kol milah shel Torah she'adam lomed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menicha b'fiv, it's as if Hashem put it into his mouth. There's a story that the Rav Moshe Aaron Stern from the Mashgiach's Har tells, that is told in Chazon Ish once, would be watching great gedolim to see how they learned. And he once was watching Rav, once he stood below the window in Source 14 of Rav Ben Sion Bilsker Zatzal, and he was learning Baba Kama. He was saying, Hashem says, Shur Shenagach et Apara. Hashem is saying the Gemara, which speaks out an ox that gored a cow with his horn. This is the Torah that it's learned directly from Hashem. It's a different sort of Torah. Instead of just reading the Gemara, Shur Shenagach, it's Hashem said. I understand that Hashem is speaking to me, through me. You know, I recently heard a story, don't remember the exact details, of a person who was really a tremendous masmik. He just never wasted time. He was constantly learning. So someone once came over to him and said, where did you get this ability of such tremendous hasmata, such tremendous diligence in learning? So he said, I'll tell you, I wasn't always that way. In fact, when I was young, I was learning the Velush and Yeshiva, I was the type of boy who would come in, open my Gemara, leave for a long time, then come back, leave again, and I was in and out. And the Rosh Yeshiva at one point came over to me and said, you know, I don't think it's really fair to your chavrusa that you come in and out this way. So he said, I looked up at the Rosh Yeshiva and I said, chavrusa? The chavrusas have left me long ago. I'm learning by myself. I can come and go as I want. Rosh Yeshiva says, sir, you're so mistaken. You have a chavrusa. And that chavrusa is Ribono Shel Olam himself. And every time you close the Gemara, Hashem has to leave and come back. Is this, you think this is fair to your chavrusa to have him come and go? He said, that made such an impression on me. He says, how can I leave the Gemara now? I'm leaving my chavrusa. It's not fair to Hashem for me to come and go. Imagine if our boys that were given this understanding that learning is shonek, connecto, that kivyocho, kodesh baruch hu is there with them when they're learning. It's a whole different aspect of learning. It's an aspect of feeling that your chavrusa is ultimately the ribono shel olam. Why? Because we can't understand Torah. Torah is beyond our mindset. Torah is godly. Because Torah is the same Torah that's learned in heaven, there's no way that my small human brain, any of our small human brains, are able to understand something that's godly. We need to be able to understand that any time we learn Torah, it's a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this, V'lachem b'chol derot ad yameinu, HaNikudah sheYehudi hi limud haTorah, ki nikudat Yehudi zeh borei olam, v'Torah zeh borei olam. And that's why when we talk about being a Torah, you know, from Torah Jew, Torah is the essence of our life. Torah is what connects us to Hashem. And how do we get to Torah? 17. Kishanu mevakshim b'tefillah al das. When we ask Hashem for knowledge, anu amrim, chonen hadat. Hashem, who is the gracious one, who grants us knowledge. Lama dafka kan katuv chonen. And refa'inu, it doesn't say chonen, that Hashem grants us a free gift of, you know, food or health. Ki atara hi davar kol yakar shemolam lo zacha adam lemila shel tara b'kochot atzmo. Tamid zo imat narchina. We can never get a moment, a word of Torah on our own. It's all a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The arrow. Look at the opening of the bracha. You, Hashem, graciously grant knowledge. We don't see this in any other bracha. It's chanina. It's a gift. As Rav Schwab points out in 18b, we say, grant us from you, Deya Bina Vahaskel, intelligence alone is not sufficient for an in-depth understanding of Torah. It requires a special endowment from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how we have to look at Torah learning. Torah learning is beyond our capabilities, period. Torah learning is a gift. Ata chonein ladam dat. It's impossible to understand Torah unless you really understand that Hashem is a chonein ladam dat. As Rav Zeta Lepshein Zatzal 19 points out, you have to daven to be able to learn Torah. It has to be a bikush. You just can't expect that you're going to open yourself up to learn. And so often you hear the stories of the great Tamichnei Chachamim that when they come into a difficulty in understanding a part of what they're learning, they stop and they daven. Hashem, help me. Atachonem ladam dad. I can't do it without you. With this, we can appreciate the Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah for 40 days, and every time he learned, he forgot it. Until on the 40th day, Hashem gave it to him as a gift, kikalato, like the gift of a kala. Rav Munk, in the Call of the Torah, Source 20, this example serves as a lesson for all who might feel that the challenge of learning Torah is beyond their abilities, and so they give up the study of Torah from the start. They should keep in mind that ultimately they reserve the Torah as a gift from Hashem if they only make the effort. That's why the first blessing concerning the Torah in the morning prayers concludes with Hamalame Torah, teaches Torah, and is followed by the blessing ending with the words Notein HaTorah. Hashem is the giver of the Torah, present tense. He's continually giving this to us. He's continually Ata Chonen LaDam Dat Chaneinu Mitcha. He's giving us Hamarachem Rachem Aleinu V'tein B'libeinu. Have mercy on us. Give in our hearts. It's a gift from Hashem. There is one nusach in Gemara Harayos that says in the 21 Rav Shor brings down Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kolotan Arba'im Yom Shasa Moshe Barz Haya Lomei Torah Mishkacha. 40 days he learned Torah, forgot it. Why? In order to make an impact on the tipshim. The tipshim are the fools later on in history who may say, oh my gosh, I can't learn this. This is beyond me. To know that every person has the ability to learn. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time. If Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time and he was learning from the greatest teacher possible, we all can have a hard time. And we have to understand that Torah is ultimately given to us not based on intellectual acuity. It's based on matnat chinam. It's based on a gift. The Rav Shur continues this idea. He says, our job, yesh ladat ki ein yigiya sholech larik. Our job is to just put in as much effort as possible. Know that it's a gift, and know that Hashem yagat matzat tamid. Hashem wants us to be able to put in the best effort we can do. Mikol yigia, the asterisk in 22, shadam miyageya sov kol sov mikabel neged ze matanah mekadosh baruch hu. For each amount of yigia, of hard work, of effort that a person puts into their limud haTorah, they will get in response a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And aval ames ki bechol yigia zochim l'Torah b'zmanim acherim. And it could be in this particular area, or it could be in other areas. But you will always see the results of what you put in, as the Sfasemeth points out on the pasuk, shlach lach mecha al pnei amayim, shu yigia b'Torah shenikra mayim. Throw your bread on the water. Water is compared to Torah. Put in your effort. You will see that you will draw in results. And he says, this is not only true of Torah. This is really binyanav. This is really a paradigm for all of Avodas Hashem. V'chein hu binyanei yadot. Yesho l'famim adam Shalochem im Yisro in 23. There are certain times a person is really struggling with the Yetzer Hara, not to speak Lashon Hara, not to get angry, not, whatever Mida it is. V'yeshlo nisyano kashim, and we have really great challenges in this area. U'mishtadel b'chol yechoto l'iskaber lehem, and you work to your hardest to be able to be successful. You make a commitment that your Friday night meal, you're not going to talk Lashon Hara. You make that commitment. And then you have a guest, and the guest says, oh, I got to tell you this. And oh, what do? You don't want to insult your guest, but you don't want to hear Lashon Hara. And how do you deal with it? Right? You take something on, and you'll see that you're going to be tested to your limit. You're going to be pushed to your utmost. And sometimes you fool, and you speak a Lashon Hara on the Friday night table. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. V'adam choshev ki kol ma she'agia lo ilbaza klom. Sheka, lo ilbaza klom. You think, oh my gosh, why did I put in so much effort? I didn't gain anything. V'nasem ala tanos v'taromas, and you get upset and frustrated. Ki kol lo v'to lo yoklal v'no kain, it's so not true. Ki elu akochot adayim kayamim. All of that hard work, all of those Friday nights that you were careful not to speak Lashon Hara, they're still there. They still exist. All that flexing of the muscle not to get angry, it's still there. V'ishnam ba'olam tamid ve'no obed klum imashiyaga. You never lose out on what you invest. Rakadosh Baruch Hu minichol l'shanim acherot. Hashem's going to use that at other times to pull you through. Va'od yireh mizeh hatzlach v'siyata d'shmaya nifla. You're going to see tremendous siyata d'shmaya. The same thing holds true with tefillah. Sometimes we daven and we don't see our tefillah being answered. Rav Pinkus talks about this in Sharim b'tefillah. He says, you know, sometimes a person is davening and davening for something and you don't see a response. And then, lo aleinu, a person's in a situation where they need Yeshua from Hashem, they need a salvation from Hashem, and they don't even have time to daven. Lo aleinu, a car accident or, you know, something happens, right? It's like split second. I just had this the other week where, you know, going in the street and a motorcycle almost hit me. Like, you don't even have time to scream. You're just like, it's happening so fast. In those situations, what saves you? All those tefillos that you had put in, says Rav Pinkus, in other areas of your life that you haven't seen the salvation, in davening for refuah, whatever, then Hashem puts it in, and He takes all those tefillos and, you know, takes you out of that way of the motorcycle within seconds. All of those tefillos come to be. All of your siyata d'shmaya that you're suddenly going to see, you're going to be so successful, and your Shabbos table is going to be so unbelievable that you can't even imagine. Life is about understanding this paradigm of Limud HaTorah. We put in our yegiyah, we put in our effort, and everything in life is a matana, it's a gift. We should never have this feeling like, oh, look what I've done. And if I have this feeling of look what I've done, then if I fail, then I look at, look how I failed. However, if I understand, it's putting in an effort in a relationship. It's putting in an effort in a dimension that is really above time because Hashem is above time. Hayah, Hoveh, V'yeh, past, present, and future all work together. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to take all the challenges and all the hard work that I'm putting in now and be able to use it at that moment for all the things that I need it for because there is no dimension of time. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us in such a close, close relationship. With this, my friends, we can appreciate the connection between Shabbos and our Pasuk. Shabbos is such a prime example. 6 days you work, and Shabbos is a gift. And in fact, Chazal tell us, this is source 26, the Shemin HaTov, Rav Weinberger Zatzal, Chazal tell us that Yesh Matana Mevei Ginzi, I have a present in my storehouse. The present is called Shabbos. Yismach Moshe B'matnat Chelko. La Moshe rejoice in the gift that I've given him. Right? This is the mindset. You have Shabbos. Shabbos is such a perfect example. 6 days you work, and the seventh day you rest. Ah, and then we have our Pasuk, which is telling you the exact same imagery. You are Yageya, you work hard, you toil in Torah, in your Vodas Hashem, and no, it's going to be a gift. Kikalato, like a matana, like a kala. And why is Shabbos such a perfect example? Because unlike the Malatim, says Shemen HaTov, where we invest our effort, Mekadesh Yisrael Basmani, Yisrael's Mekadesh the time, Shabbos is Kfiyah V'Kayama, Shabbos comes every week. Shabbos is a gift from Hashem. Our job is to put in the effort. Yagata u'matzata tamim. Yagata, you work. Matzata metziah means it's going to come out of nowhere. It's something unexpected. Then you believe. And that's why, as Rav Volpe points out in 27, and the asterisk, some people turn their eyes heavenward and wait for Hashem to help them with their spiritual struggles. Should this assistance not materialize, they complain. Why did you help me? Like help your uncle and Shmerel. Chazal are informing us that to merit Hashem's assistance, one has to take the first step himself. Show Hashem that you believe in Him. Show Him that you trust Him. Show Him that you're interested in growing your Avodas Hashem and your Shemayim. All you have to do is initiate. And Hashem will respond with a generous dose of heavenly assistance. Rabbosai, this is a real message for our life. So often we try, whether it's in Limud HaTorah, in Chesed, in Midos, we try so hard to be successful. Now we just have Yeush, we give up, oh, Bach, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's impossible. You're right, it is impossible. But you're not doing it alone. You have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I really want this. And you have to show Hashem, I really want this. And then it's a matana, it's a gift. As Rav Freifeld points out, it is a venerable style. 28. If he comes to purify himself, says the Rambam, Yimsa Atzmo Nezar Al Davar. Nezar Al Davar. He'll find himself helped in this matter. You'll find at some point you'll receive strength and power from outside yourself, and you'll be helped. You'll find that your learning and your studies will be expedited. And you will achieve understanding miraculously beyond anything you thought was within your capabilities. This, says the Rambam, is the second way in which Hashem is our teacher. Not only is Hashem the teacher of the Jewish people as a whole, He's also our teacher on an individual basis. One person at a time. When you seek wisdom and righteousness, when your mind becomes impassioned to know the truth, Hashem touches your mind. This divine instrument that He planted in each and every one of us, and you are transformed. Think about it. It's a fantastic idea. It's within your power and capability to achieve direct contact with Hashem. You have this incredible device in your head called the human mind. If you use it right, Hashem will contact your mind directly, yours specifically, in your own unique way. Habalutahir, Sainoto. You try, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond. Can't give up. You have to move forward. With this all in mind, my friends, we can now appreciate back to our original Rashi. Okay, I understand that Torah is beyond human understanding. That it's a chanina, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Great, I understand all of that. So how does that relate to the idea of a kala? It should just say that Hashem gave it to us a matana. Atachonim l'adam da'at. Chanina, matana, a gift. Why is it, I'm not chinam, a free gift, why is it that the imagery of kikalato, rinu chaser, we read it like a kala? Hashem gave him a gift, says Rashi, like he gave, like a kala is given as a gift to a chaser. So here, the Ish Tamid, Rav Yisrael Meir Drup, 29, points out, Ubi ater tamur reisha kala, Lord Yisrael l'chatam b'matana, sharei isha, niknei b'kesef. Well, hold on a second. Whoa! The whole imagery of Rashi makes no sense. A kala isn't given as a free gift to a chassid. He has to acquire her, right? He has to give her a ring. He has to give her something shavat pruta. He has to give her something to acquire her. It's called kiddushin. It's called acquisition. It's called marriage. Ubeloshi tein lekesef kiddushin lo tein ishto. If he doesn't give her anything, there's no marriage. Imkein inka batana lemechira. So you don't have a present here. You have a transaction. So why are you even calling this a gift? A chassan doesn't get a free gift called a kala. He has to acquire the kala. And he says the following. B'matana. My friends, a man has to acquire a woman with something that's worth a certain amount of money. Now tell me, is a kala worth that amount of money? Well, obviously not. You can't put a price tag on a kala. On anyone, you can't put a price tag. So when I say that a chassan has to acquire a kala, yes, there is a physical acquisition. He has to give her something to acquire her. I grant you that. But really, although there's an acquisition going on here, although there is giving her something, she's really a gift because no amount of money could possibly, you know, be paid to get this kala. So therefore, really, ultimately, although she's acquired, it's really a gift. And hatarei dugma ke'ein zeh raka adam osa pula kedei liknota. Harei lachar mikem na lo b'matana, ava hu tzarech loso pula tashlum mitzido v'lo zeh lika bel matana. And likewise by Torah. One has to invest something. Just like you give the ring to the kala, you have to sit down and learn and do your hardest. But know that just like the kala is worth so much more, and she's really given as a gift, so too, understand that as much as you put into the Torah learning, it's going to be given to you as a gift. If we take this one step deeper, my friends, notes the Birkas Mordechai, this goes even further than that. There's a Beferish HaChazal, Medrash HaBeit Shirabah, Rabbi Pinchas ben Rabbi Avahu, Matzinu B'Torah ben Nevi Muksuvit. We find in the both, Psukim from Chumash, Navi, and the Ksuvim, She'ein Zivugo Shal Ish Elamin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the one who matches a man and a woman together? Who is the one that gives this woman to this man? It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he chose it, and even though he's given her this acquisition, no, Mehashem isha leish, ein zivugo shel ish ela min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A chassan needs to know that his kala is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Albeit he's made this decision, and albeit he's acquired her through this ring, ultimately, this choice of this particular girl is a gift from Hashem. Nimsa shalmatana zod einach vareya shekein kamur kodesh baruch hu notenet aisha kamatana gvura. So now we understand, says the Birkas Mordechai, the comparison. You're comparing the giving of the Torah to a kala. Yes, the comparison is so exact. Just like a kala, kodesh baruch hu gives to the chassan as a gift. This is something that Hashem has orchestrated from above. Nevertheless, the chassan has to take initiative on his side and do what we call a semel, some type of act in order to acquire her. Likewise, Torah is a gift. Understanding of Torah, the learning of Torah, the living of Torah life is a gift from above. Our job is to put in the effort. We put in the effort, just like this chassan acquires the kala and then gets this gift. So too, we put in our effort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu likewise gives it to us as a gift. So my friends, the first understanding of this imagery of a chassan and a kala is that just like a kala is a gift to a chassan, the learning of Torah, the living of Torah lifestyle is a gift. And the message for us is that A, for ourselves, for our children, when we, our husbands, when we encourage them in learning, and there's a certain frustration, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your chavrusa to them. Don't give up. Put in the effort and daven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will see tremendous yata d'shmaya. In our avodas Hashem, we can never give up. Understand that yagata umatzata tamid. We put in our effort, and Hashem will give us, open up the heavens in ways we can't possibly imagine. That's the imagery of a kala. She's obviously worth more than a golden ring. It's a gift from God. The second idea, 36, O Moshe. Katab kuntris, Margaret Sad de Bey Rav. Keter Torah Munach Vomed Muchan Lecho Yisrael, Shugeder Kedushin, Omed Muchanem Uzamelo. The Torah is compared to Kedushin, to marriage. That a person has to have a relationship with Torah, Ki Ishto Nesua, like a married woman. Which means that you can't learn, he says, Torah whenever you feel like it. Rak leprakim, rakish mitchashek v'noach lo. That's a geder zona. That's like a prostitute, lo aleinu. Whenever you feel like it, you learn. That's not a woman. A woman is liyoti ta tamid b'chol ha'masavim ha'kashim. You're going to be with her throughout. Easy times, difficult times. That's the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, I'm giving you this Torah like a gift of a kala. Treat her like a kala. Just like a kala, you're ready to accept in all challenging times the good as well as the difficult. As we brought down before, the beautiful idea of the bedekin, of why does the chassan cover the kala when if it's just to make sure it's her, then he should uncover the veil to check it's her. Why does he cover the veil? So we brought down this idea a while ago, such a powerful idea, that when the chassan comes to the bedekin, he sees his kala, he's making a statement, I'm ready to marry you on the Rachel level, on the level of what I see. And then he covers her. And he says, I also know there's what the Leah level. I also know Leah is referred to as the Alma Deep Kasya, the concealed world. I also know there's a world here that I don't know about, a world of struggle, the internal world, right? The world behind the mask, so to speak. And the last thing the chassan says to the kala before going off to the chuppah is, I'm ready to accept you for the covered, concealed parts of you as well. The Rachel aspect, the Alma Deep Kasya, the revealed aspect, as well as the concealed aspect. A chassan has to commit, as well as the kala to the chassan, to all levels, not only when things are great, not only when things are easy, when things are challenging, when things are difficult, to be able to hold by the kala as well. This brings to mind the famous Gemara in 37, Rav Pinkus brings down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over three kinds of people every day. He who engages in Torah study but doesn't. Who can't engage in Torah study but doesn't. He who can't engage in Torah study but does. And a community leader who lords it over the public. So I understand why Hashem cries over those who can learn Torah and don't. They're wasting your time. But why does Hashem cry over someone who can't engage in Torah learning yet learns anyway? If he's learning, why is this a cause for tears? The squiggly in 37, the answer is that we're speaking of a person who finds Torah learning hard and burdensome. But he pushes himself to learn nevertheless. He learns Torah and Mesiras Nefesh. However, the true way to learn Torah is out of love for Hashem and desire to know His Word. Not in Mesiras Nefesh. Not when a husband says, oh, I have to be nice to you. Okay, I'll be nice to you. No! Hashem says that your attitude is, oh, I don't really want to learn, but I'll learn anyway. That's not the right attitude. As Rav Schoenbach points out in 38, it's not enough to learn Torah like other forms of wisdom. Torah is to be acquired, just like a chassid acquires his kala. Just like he cleaves to his wife until they become one indivisible unit, so too should a chacham cleave to the Torah and be consumed by it to the point that it dominates all of his thoughts. The Mishnah Rav Aaron 39 brings, Kol mi shomer divrei Torah, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Veino arevim al shomeyem kekalazu shareval ba'ala b'shat chupata, Noach lo shalom amram. Anyone who says words of Torah, and that they're not beloved to this person, like, and here's the imagery, like a kala who's beloved to her chassan, like a bride who's beloved to her groom, it's better not to say these words. What's the imagery of how we should approach Torah learning? The imagery of approaching Torah learning has to be arevos, has to be, it's pleasant for us, it's something I desire, it's something that I you know, it's an all-encompassing feeling of love. If your words of Torah aren't beloved to you, like a kala's beloved to the chassid, it's not worth much. This is how our limud Torah should be. This is the method that Hashem is giving Moshe Rabbeinu when He hands him the luchos. I want you to look at these luchos, and I want you to understand that the model of the luchos is a model of a kala to a chassid. It's a model of that feeling of love, that feeling of connection, and that feeling of being able to be with each other at all times, and be able to do it out of love. And your whole focus is how to make that other person happy and attach themselves to this person. The Shem and Atover Weinberger sets out, explains a little bit deeper, that the word kala also comes from the idea, and the double underline in the bracket of 40, of chilyon einayim, the gagua, longing of the eyes, a yearning, a wanting. That's how we have to be for the learning of Torah. And that's how the Alei Shur is really a deeper way to understand the Ibn Ezra. Like, what do you think Moshe Rabbeinu was doing up there for 40 days, right? He was learning Torah, and Torah is so massive. In order to make Torah part of himself, you need years. So he quotes the idea in 41 of Kol ha-nechalim ochim olayam v'yamenin umala pasuk in Kohelet, that all the rivers lead to the ocean, and the ocean is ever full. Says the Medrash, all the Torah that you learn goes to the heart, and the heart is never full. There's no end to our heart. Be'echrech u'kach, it has to be. Hashem gave us the Torah, Arukam Eretz Yidah Rechava Min Hayam. Torah is the depth that's beyond our understanding, the breadth is beyond it. And likewise, we have to understand, Lachen Gam Akli HaMakabel to Torah. Likewise, the vessel to receive Torah has to be Bilti Mugbal, has to be limitless. V'akli HaZehu HaLev, and that's the heart. And here's the key in the squiggly of 41, Tachli Torah, the goal of Torah is to know Ma'is Hashem V'drachav, to know Hashem's ways. The Lo B'Yediyah B'Ela, not only should it be with the knowledge, but rather, Ikar Ela Havaya, the experience. Mashriklapa Lev Nefach Latzmuto Shel Hadam. It becomes part of you, Shuchaibo, that you live it. The goal of Torah learning is not just to sit and learn. Maybe I can be able to sit and learn in 40 days. Right? Intellectually. That's not what it's about. It's about making it part of you. The relationship between a chassid and kala is not about the, a business relationship. You know, it's about an emotional relationship. It's about a connection. That's the imagery of a kala, chilyonei nayim, this yearning, this longing. That's how we have to look at Torah. And this is, in fact, Halev in 43, he kodesh shakadashim shabatam. It's the holiest part of a person. It's the bedrock of a person. That part of us is a naturally yearns to go to close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We just have to tap into that yearning and make it part of us. As the Talmud relates in 46, Rav Chaim Mordechai Katz tells Rosh Yeshiva that Shmuel repeated a law he heard from the sage of Rav 40 times. How does Shmuel the patience review the same idea 40 times? One needs a trait of avas of Torah, profound love of Torah study. When you experience the pleasure inherent in Torah, you'll find it easy to review what you have learned. When you have a deep love for Torah, nothing will be able to stop you from engaging in Torah study. The root of success in Torah is a feeling of love for Torah. It's in any wonder, back to Rav Volbi in 44, that what are we daven for so often? Hu yiftach libeinu b'sarasso. Hashem, open up our heart to Torah. V'yaseh b'libeinu avatov v'yirato. Place in our heart are your love, your fear. V'laso ritzono v'la'avdo b'lev avshalem. That we should serve you with a full heart. V'tar libeinu la'avdacha b'emes. The relationship of a chassid and kala is the relationship of love. The imagery that Mishnah Sref Aravar and Cutler Zatzal gives in 45 is the idea of the Yidgula Rov, Bekerva Aretz, of dugging, a fish. We know the interesting thing about fish is that they're in water all day, but when it rains, they go to the top of the water to get another drop of water. That's how we have to be. That's how the ideal relationship between a husband and wife is constantly renewing that initial feeling of love, of connection. In fact, in the Sheva Brachot, which is, we all know, it's found in Source 50, we say in the last of the Sheva Brachot, the following, we say, Oji Shema Pasuk, in the Navi, Barei Yudah V'chutzot Yerushalayim, it will once again be heard, Oji Shema, once future time he heard the kol sasa kol simcha, the voice of joy and jubilation, kol chassid kol kala, the joy, the voice of the chassid and the kala. So I once heard, this is going back over 30 years ago, at Dvar Torah, a shalshunis, a visiting person from Eretz Yisrael, but sometimes you hear an idea that sticks with you over 30 years, yeah? He says, what does that mean? The Navi is saying in the future you're going to have the voice of the chassid and the kala? Many people are going to be married. Are there going to be more marriages then than now? What is this idea of the voice of the chassid and kala? He said so beautifully. He says, the way a chassid and kala talk to each other, the kol chassid, the kol kala, is very special, right? They have a way of nicely and softly, and there's this energy that a chassid and kala have with each other. The bracha that we have, and this is what the future will be, is that all marriages will constantly have that kol chassid and kol kala. That's the bracha we're really giving to the chassid and kala on a deeper level. And you should always live the kol chasam v'kol kala. That's a kol safa v'kol simcha. That's the greatest joy of jubilation. That initial feeling of chilyonei naim, of tveikus, of connection, should continuously be with you. So idea number one, it's a matan like a kala, because although she's acquired, it's a gift from God. Our work in Torah study, we have to acquire it. It's a gift from God. Idea number two, it's a relationship of a chasam and kala. That love, that commitment, that ability to do anything for that person, that feeling, it's a burden, and it's a pleasure, and it's love, and I'm ready to do it over and over again. How many dishes have we washed for this person? How many loads of laundry have we done? And it's done out of love, that is how we have to view Torah study, as this relationship of a chasan and kala. The third idea, before we get to our final point in 47, is a Shemen Atov. He said, just like there's a 6 days of Shabbos, which is a preparation for Shabbos, the luchos, which are preparation for the entire Torah, he said, that's the mashal of a chasan and kala. Sherei rakat chalav ha'ikar livno bayi ne'man la'shem v'torah to. Why the imagery of a kala? Because it's the imagery of beginning. And in Torah, we always have to look at it as if I'm just beginning. I'm always starting. L'tzitcha Elyon quotes the Machsheva Musar of Shach Zatzam, who explains what this means. He says, Shein bekach kol stirav ad rabba, b'chol siyum yisho geder shalt chalach hadasha. Anytime we finish, we know we start again. I'm sure you've seen the many Tehillims. They have Kuf Nun and then they have Perek Aleph again. We never end. Well, always when we end, we begin again. We're mistaken to think that mitzvah, says Rav Shach Zatzal, is just that I have to do 248 positive and don't do 365 negatives. No! You know what Torah mitzvah says? It's to prepare us, it's about changing us. It's not just about, okay, check that off, done that mitzvah. That mitzvah is a spiral. It makes me on a higher level. It makes me different. And I'm now just beginning. And the next mitzvah I do, I'm going to be a different person doing it. It's the imagery of the ladder. V'nei sula mutzav arza, v'rosh ha-makiyah shamayma. V'zeh limu ladam. This is a lesson for us. Shekashim shalmei besulam ala madriga tachtona alav lamshich lalot. That anyone standing on the bottom rung knows they have to move forward. Obviously, a person knows they have to move from level to level in order to be a different person. You're never the same person. You always have to be changing. And that is what the marriage is about. The marriage, the chasan and kala, is just the first stage. But they grow together, and they grow even higher and deeper and more connected together. And that's what it's about. You know, it reminds me of a story in L.A. where a father came over to Rosh Kala. I heard it from Rosh Kala himself, the story. And he said, my daughter's been married 3 months. And my son-in-law came over to me and said, I've been married to your daughter for 3 months and I don't love her. So the father-in-law comes running over to his Rosh Kala and says, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Rosh Kala says, go back to your son-in-law and tell him, I'm so happy to hear that. If you would love her after 3 months, I'd be nervous. Love takes years and years to happen. So, leaving that marriage aside, which would be interesting to see 30 years later where that marriage is today, but that's not the point of our story. That's what it's about. It's about developing a relationship every day, every year, every anniversary, to look back, how it's deeper, more enriched. And this is indeed how the Aretz Tzfatenu explains this Ibn Ezra. He says, "V'nei dafka erka v'dola shel Torah tzarich lo'orer b'adam cheshek v'tshuka azar 49, Aretz Tzfatenu l'adar otav l'asig od mechachma nifla azu. V'rechava tzarich lo'orer b'adam ritzon rav l'damek ba'od inyam inyanei Torah l'avinav l'akdotah. Ki nar Yisrael v'aveyu." The Navi Hoshea describes in Aleph that we're like a lad. A lad is someone who learns but wants to learn more. And any time I learn, it's just awakening in me, Nar Yisrael, awakening to learn some more, to want to know more. And that's what perhaps Ibn Ezra means, he says at the end of this paragraph in 49, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atachi lota lorda et avdecha, you've just begun. Because my whole life I feel like I'm just beginning. My whole life I feel like a chasan and kala. My whole life I feel like kol chasan and kol kala. Because I look at it as new. I look at it as fresh. I look at it as a beginning and deeper and higher. And that's the aspect. So let's just summarize what we've seen, and we'll end with one final idea. Birtz Hashem. Matana, akala, it's a gift. You have to do your effort, you have to put in your ishtadlus, you have to do your best, you have to daven, you have to invest in the energy. It's going to be a gift from Hashem. Akala is not worth a gold ring, she's worth a lot more. It's a gift, and it comes from Hashem, and we need to know that. And Torah is beyond our understanding. Atachonin ladam dat. Idea number two. The Chasam Kala relationship is a relationship of love. It's a relationship where you can never tire. And it's not Mesir Sefesh. It's not difficult. Our view of Torah has to be one of love, that I can learn something over and over again. Chil Yonei Naim, with impassioned eyes. I want to learn. I want to grow. And Torah for me is going to be like that Chasam and Kala, that love relationship. Idea number three, why Dafka the Kala? It shows you the beginning of the relationship. That Torah always has to be new. Right? As if you got in them today. Right? Kedyutma Chadosha, Rashi says. As I'm giving to you today, every day is new. And every day I'm new. And every day I look at Torah differently. And my mitzvahs build on each other. And that's the process that we've learned. I'd like to end, because Torah can be understood, we know, on 70 levels, and each of those levels on 70 levels, with another aspect that we learn from this pasuk that I just want to make mention of, in the Sefer Ish L'Re'ehu, source 41. He brings, in the Tzava of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Banai, my children, in his will, he says, Havei Zahir Bachnasas Kala L'Chuba, be very careful in the mitzvah of bringing, enabling a Kala to get married, U'L'Sameach Chatan, to make a chasen happy, Shekol HaMesamcho, anyone who makes them rejoice, Ke'ilu Kibel Torah Mar Sinai, it's as if you're receiving Torah from Har Sinai. And he quotes this pasuk, Shenemar Vayiten Moshe Kekalato, Kalato Ktiv, Vada Yom Shenitana Torah, Ki Yom Shenichnasa Kala L'Chuppah. The day that you bring a Kala to the Chuppah is a day like Torah was given, which is about both being Mesamech V'Chasen and Kala, he says, as well as paying for the expenses and helping with the expenses. Rabosai Givaldik, what do we learn from this pasuk equating the giving of the luchos to chasen and kala? That this mitzvah, v'chnasas kala, and they say about the gra, that this was his mitzvah. Of staka, this he went out of his way to do, because it's like being mekabel Torah. It's like receiving the Torah. The chumash itself, through this diuk and chazal, equate the two together. And we know that the Marsha brings down on the questions that were going to be asked in 53 in the Arrow, after 120 years, one of the questions is, Asakta Imperia Verivia, did you involve yourself in procreation? It doesn't say Kiyamta, did you fulfill Imperia Verivia? Did you have a boy and girl? Some people never get married. Some people have only girls, some people have only boys. Asakta Imperia Verivia? Rather, Haim Hitasek Bechesed Shalsas Yosom Vietnitoma. Says the Marsha, it means, were you involved in bringing people in Shiduchit? Were you involved in paying for expenses of a Yasom and Yasoma, of orphans that they can come to the Chuppah, being involved in the mitzvah of Achnasas Kala, in bringing marriage, so it's Shadchanim, and thinking about Shiduchim, and being involved in that world, as well as helping raise money, expenses, the mitzvah of Achnasas Kala, all of this is part of this tremendous mitzvah, as well as we know that the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, the end of 54, that this is one of the greatest mitzvah, leilech v'lsameach otam, to make them happy, particularly if it's a person who doesn't have anyone there to v'lsameach l'chasen akala, you should go out of your way to make them rejoice. And indeed, the story brings down a maisa, where a person was a Talmid Chacham who had no money, and there was extra money in the Karen, in the money for the Hachnasas Kala. And the Shaila was asked, can we take this money to help this Talmid Chacham? And the answer was yes, because there is this equation between Hachnasas Kala and Limud HaTorah. So we should learn from this pasuk that not only how our Torah learning is so enriched with the imagery of a Kala, but to know that helping a Kala, mamish, pshuto kamashmo, masameach hachasen a Kala, and be involved in shiduchim, and be involved in raising money for Hachnasas Kala, and the things that they need, is mamish as if the day the Torah was given. It's mamish as if you're mekabel the Torah with tremendous schar. Rabbosai, we should be zocha to learn Torah as if it's given today, that we should be zocha to have this ava, this love of Torah, and we should be zocha to be mekayim, the asakta, the period of the rivya, of making tremendous amount of matches to bring more Jewish children into this world.